Hello everyone and welcome to The Stagey Place. It's Elliot here and I hope that you're all doing well. We here on the podcast chat to those who create the magic from behind the scenes. From writers to directors, producers to designers. And on today's episode, we are joined by the adapter and director of The Hound of Baskervilles, Martin Parsons, who is currently on tour with the production all across the UK. I got to chat with Martin a couple of weeks back before the tour started, and so I'm really excited to share with you episode 141 with director and adapter Martin Parsons. Hello Martin, and welcome to The Stage Place today. How are you doing?
Not bad, thank you, not bad. Yes, the rain seems to have stopped, so I can't complain.
Very good. Martin, today we are here to talk about The Hound of the Baskervilles, which is on tour this spring. You are about a week away from the show actually starting its tour in Taunton. How are you feeling at this very moment?
Well, excited, really. I mean, all these things obviously take so much preparation and there's a lot of sort of pre-production work to do. So it's great when you get to the position where the actual, you know, getting on the road, getting on tour and actually meeting up with the entire team. It's great when that is imminent, because that's the time when then you can obviously show it to audiences and when the effort comes to fruition. So no, it's an exciting time. It's also slightly fraught because there's always too much to do and not enough hours in the day. But then I'm sure lots of people say that in lots of jobs. So that's not unique to this.
Yeah, absolutely. And Martin, we should say that this isn't the first time The Hound of Baskervilles has been on tour. It was on tour a couple of years ago. So what's the idea about bringing this show back for new audiences?
The main reasons for taking it on tour again are firstly because obviously there are so many towns and cities and places to visit in the UK. And secondly, from a practical point of view, touring is quite, it's an unusual thing. It has to sort of fit your lifestyle. And naturally, people don't want to be away from home for too long or not with their loved ones for too long. And so it's good to do it in smaller bits. Rather than going away for 6 months, it's good to do it, you know, in sort of chunks of a month here and then have a gap and a month there. And that's much more palatable for people's lifestyles, I think, as well, and getting that work-life balance right. So it's for practical reasons, really, that it's not one long tour, it's in little bits.
Yeah, it is really exciting. And what's lovely about this as well is that you've got a stellar cast on this show as well. We must talk about you having Colin Baker in the show. Obviously, there's probably a lot of Doctor Who fans around the UK who will actually get the chance then to see Colin on stage. And what you were just saying there as well about being with loved ones and stuff, you're also going to be in the show as well as being the adapter and the director of the show, along with your wife who's in the show as
well. Yes, absolutely. That's right. Yes, that's right. So it's a sort of a family affair, really. And of course, Colin's daughter is coming in to do some of the performances as well. So there's lots of family links in various ways.
Yeah. Well, Martin, we'll talk a lot about The Hound of the Baskervilles in this episode. But first, what I want to talk about is your journey into theatre. So tell me a little bit about how you found yourself in the theatre industry and what you love so much about it.
Sure. Well, now, when people say, well, how did you get into theatre? It sort of takes you back quite a way, doesn't it? But I suppose, you know, I could sort of say I went to drama school and answer in a boring way like that, but I suppose it probably gets you a bit earlier than that, in that I remember going to see a pantomime with my parents took me when I was little. I remember going, we lived sort of in Sussex, and we went to the Theatre Royal in Brighton. An actress called Irene Handel was in it, who was getting towards the end of her career then, and she'd been a big movie star in things like I'm All Right, Jack, with Peter Sellers, classic films like that. And Christopher Biggins was in it. Well, he's still in pantomimes, isn't he? So, you know, the pantomime stalwart. And it just captured me, as it does with so many people. It captures their imagination, does it? And so that kind of instilled a love of it in me. So I used to do amateur dramatics, and then people said, well, you should go to drama school. Perhaps they were just trying to get rid of me, I don't know. So I auditioned for drama school, and I was fortunate enough to get in there, and then spent 3 years doing that. And then became an actor and pursued a career solely as an actor. But I had sort of other interests and also wanted more work than I could get at the time. So the obvious thing there for is to combine your other interests in writing and directing and also providing yourself with work. And, you know, because it's not a huge step in acting because you're self-employed doing that anyway. And so that was the sort of route that led doing The Hound of the Baskervilles and keeping me away from doing a proper job, which hopefully will be as popular again this year as it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and obviously, so then with the Hounds of the Baskervilles, obviously there's plenty of stories that you could have picked on from
Yeah.
Sherlock, but what was it about the Hounds of the Baskervilles that you really felt like you could write this, adapt this, and take it on tour? Like, what makes this Hounds of the Baskervilles different to other Hounds of the Baskervilles that people may have seen before in the past?
Sure. Well, the first time I encountered Hound of the Baskervilles was the Basil Rathbone one. I think it was shown on BBC Two at sort of tea time-ish when I was little. So this is kind of early 1980s. And I was captured by this black and white film and this the sort of mixture of detective and horror. I think that's what the thing is about the Hound of the Baskervilles. And then about the same time in the early 80s, Tom Baker played Sherlock Holmes, and they did it, the BBC Classic Serials did an adaptation of it. So that kind of coupled with the Rathbone one, and coupled with, of course, he not long left Doctor Who, which of course appeals to a young lad. And so those things sparked my interest in Sherlock Holmes. And then I started reading the books. And I think, I mean, there's obviously terrific. There's so many dozens of terrific Sherlock Holmes stories. But firstly, the Hound of the Baskervilles is the most famous one. And secondly, it has that combination of that sort of gothic horror and detective mystery, and it takes Sherlock Holmes out of his normal, comfortable, slightly smart aleck world in Baker Street, where he rules and he's the whiz bang detective who is a bit dislikable, really. But we all kind of want a friend like that, you know, because he's the smartest man in the room. I like the fact it takes him out of his normal world and makes him uncomfortable, and it makes him speculate as to whether there is magic or the supernatural in the world, and face those sort of challenges as well. And so there were sort of lots of reasons to do the basketballs, and that, as I say, that's just a few of them.
Yeah, and obviously that is kind of what we're talking about here, like with Sherlock obviously being taken out of Baker Street and stuff and
Yes.
going somewhere completely different. It does feel like that is the perfect story to take on tour, because it's almost like with all these little villages and towns that you're going to and everything, it's almost like Sherlock could go to those towns and villages. And now Colin being on stage in this adaptation of The Hound of the Baskervilles must be a really nice full circle feeling for you.
It's great to have him in it now, and he plays so wonderfully that combination of smart and pompous and emotive and heart-wrenching. He's such a terrific actor. One of my very first jobs was in the theatre or a box office in Brighton, and when I was working there, Colin Baker used to come every year or so on tour in various things. So when I was thinking about becoming an actor, he was somebody that you thought of. Well, this is a successful jobbing actor who's known for TV things, but also known for theatre things. And so I inadvertently followed his career just by the fact he was always at the place I was working. He would come in eight Bourne plays. I remember him being a terrible baddie. I mean, he was very good as the baddie, but you know, he was a terrible character. In Death and the Maiden, he was an evil so-and-so in that, and he would come in pantomimes, and he came in time and time again, and all kinds of things, all kinds of things. And so obviously then he became Doctor Who, and we know him from lots of different TV shows since then. But then the chance to work with him in doing this, I think he's the perfect Sherlock Holmes, you know, because he is so brilliant at making these pompous characters that in other hands would be dislikable. He's so terrific at making them human and relatable. And of course, as well, that's what the character of Watson does, of course. And Terry Molloy is terrific as Watson in humanizing the Holmes. We all want to know Sherlock Holmes, don't we? We want him at our party, but we don't want him to stay, probably. We want him to come and do his party piece and then go, because he's a bit of a trial after a while, I'm sure. But that's where Colin plays him so brilliantly, and that's where, as I say, Terry Molloy's Watson really humanizes him.
Yeah. So obviously, this show has been on tour before. It's now coming back on tour to new places around the UK. What has the reaction been like to this show so far when you've taken it on tour? Have there been moments of the show that you've been really excited to get to then like hear the audience's reactions to those moments in the play?
Yes, very much so, very much so. You, when you're adapting and directing something like this, you sort of anticipate what you expect the audience to do, and that's part of what you need to do in your job. And you try and anticipate what they will enjoy most, and to give them more of that. And the better you get at the job, and the more you do it, obviously the better those judgments are. But there are still things that surprise you. You think, oh, I didn't see that, and then you sort of play into various things. I thought they. I mean, I've loved working with the cast, and I have enjoyed hugely learning from and watching their performances. And you hope that an audience will have the same enjoyment, you know. But I have also been surprised at the juice that Colin Baker and Tony Molloy and Dee Sadler and the rest of the team have all got out of the script, out of these wonderful Victorian Conan Doyle words, which really play into the type of acting, the style of acting that our team are so good at. And they're very good at drawing the humour out of it as well.
And what I really love about this interview and about talking to you today, Martin, is the fact that we are talking about a show which is going on a rural tour. Rural touring, I think, at the moment is getting such resurgence, let's say, from the news, from the pandemic. You know, a lot of people are talking about how rural touring really helps those who may not go to the theatre often to see shows and see, you know, stars, like we say, like Colin Baker on stage in Hound of the Baskervilles, in a, you know, in a story that is so well known. Like you say, it's one of the most popular stories of Conan Doyle's works. So for you, why do you love rural touring so much compared to, let's say, touring to venues that are so well known across the country? What is it about rural touring that has attracted you so much with this tour?
Well, now let's have to think about that, because yes, there's a lot in that. There's a lot in what you said. Let me think where to start. I mean, it's always a pleasure to take things on a regional tour around the country. It's great doing things in big towns and cities, don't get me wrong, but it's a sort of life experience going up and down the country. You know, we've done shows in not just this one, but other shows as well. We've done them in Aberdeen and Redruth and Milford Haven and Folkestone and the Isle of Wight. And, you know, we've been the length and breadth of the country. And so that's a great life experience to see different parts of the UK. It's also a pleasure to see different audiences who are particularly appreciative that you're not just city-centric. I think a lot of shows, just through like logistics and financial concerns and so on and so forth, don't or find it difficult to go to far-flung places of the UK. As I say, from a logistical point of view, and I suppose that would hark back to what we were talking about before of a regional tour not being easiest, being too long because you're away from home, which again, of course, you can do a year-long run in Birmingham or London or Manchester or wherever, because if you're living there and you're commuting from home, less of a problem than it is going on the road. So it's really nice to do regional touring in that way and see, as I say, local audiences. They're particularly appreciative that you're there because it's single night touring mainly. You've got a fresh audience every night. So yeah, That's a different type of the adventure too.
I'm on tour this spring as well with Treasure Island. So we start rehearsals mid-March and we go through until June. It's another rural tour like Hound of the Baskervilles. But I'm really hoping that I can get to come and see one of the performances that you've got.
Please do.
I start rehearsals. Because it sounds absolutely wonderful, not just from me being a Doctor Who fan and wanting to come and see Colin on stage, but also just for the idea that I'm going to be watching a show, that you say, a radio play brought onto stage, but also to have the Foley, which is something that when I trained at Bristol or Vic, we did a couple of lessons about Foley and, you know, and about sound and stuff like this. And there was a whole studio in Bristol where we looked at Foley and it was incredible. So it'd be lovely to hopefully come and see the show.
Well, that sounds exciting that you had. When I went to drama school, we didn't have the sort of Foley teaching about the Foley effect. So at Bristol, it's great you had that. And I'm glad you touched on that sort of braving the audience aspect as well, because, of course, that's a chat we have to have with the stage managers. We think, oh, you'd be brilliant at the job, but are you comfortable with doing it in front of people? Because, of course, not everyone is, because it's a different consideration. It's a different skill, isn't it? You know, someone's watching you do your job, which, well, there's probably a few hundred people watching you do your job, which normally no one sees you, you know, to executing. And, you know, I really admire the way that our stage management team have taken that step and thought, actually, you know what? What's the worst that can happen? I'm going to be doing my job as well as ever I am, but I'm just going to be doing it in front of people. And one of the things that makes me laugh as well is that When we go to the stage door and when people kindly email us with comments or come to the stage door when we're leaving, the first thing they say is, I couldn't help watching the stage manager doing all the effects and what they were doing. And they say, was she really talking to someone on that microphone, you know, on the comms, you know? I say, yeah. Oh, we thought she was just pretending to talk to the lighting person. No, she was really talking to the lighting person. And the stage managers here that we've been working with, Claire and Alex and Charlotte, they say they've never been asked for their autograph before. They've been asked to sign programmes, which I think is a really good sign that they're really appreciated. And here's to that.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for adapting this radio play to be on stage and for having the idea to bring stage managers on the stage to do the work. It's amazing.
Oh no, I thank them for doing it. I'm very lucky to have them around.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Martin, thank you so much for coming on to talk about Hand in the Vasty Wheels. Obviously, this is going on a regional tour. In our episode notes, we'll have all of the tour dates where everyone can come and see the show whilst it is on its tour. But Martin, before I let you go, I've got one final question for you. And it's the question that we ask everybody who comes onto the podcast. It's the title of this podcast. That's The Stagey Place. And what I love to find out about all of my guests is where their stagey place is. Martin, this is up to two different categories. The first is someone who has inspired you throughout your career, throughout your life, to become the adapter and the writer and the director and the actor that you are today. Let's say here at the Hand of the Baskerville. So it could be somebody at school that inspired you, maybe a teacher or somebody who has inspired your writing and your writing style. Or it could simply be a place, a theatre, a person, a village hall, somewhere that has inspired your love for theatre that you have now found here today as we talk now about Hand in the Baskervilles going on its tour after many years. So, Martin, whereabouts for you is your stagey place?
What a lovely question. You see, now if I choose the person, I'll be thinking I'm neglecting the place. And if I choose the place, I'll think I'll be neglecting the person. I suppose my stagey place would be at Prompt Corner because there's nothing better than standing in the wings, looking over the stage manager's shoulder, looking past the light on a bar and just looking into the wings and watching people playing out front in a proscenium arts theatre and catching sight of the front rows enjoying what they're doing. That's a great view. That's a great view. If I had to pick a person, it would have to be my father. It would have to be a teacher at school, Mr. Meek, who inspired me in drama. Or it would have to be, I used to love the books of Terence Dix when I was little. I used to read them avidly, and they inspired me to adapt and write. So I've cheated and given more than one answer, but I hope that covers the question.
It does cover the question. And again, I really love the fact that the Prompt Corner is somewhere that can inspire you. Like you say, especially in your line of work as the adapter and the director, you've done all of that work throughout the rehearsal process to get this show onto stage. And then you've got people who are actually buying tickets to the shows. And like you say, you see them, you know, filling up those first couple of aisles of seats and stuff, and you're able to kind of glance them but not be right in eye line with them whilst you're watching the show and their reactions to everything that's happening on stage. And it's your work that you've created wherever you write your plays, you know, and then suddenly months later they're on stage and you're in that Prompt Corner watching what you have created being reacted to by an audience who have never seen the show until that moment.
Yes, I mean, it is quite thrilling. I hope that doesn't sound ridiculous. I find it quite thrilling. I know other people will say I'm nuts, but, you know, I find that so thrilling. And one of my favourite things, I think one of the most, obviously it's important that actors get on. It's important you put a team of people together to get on. I think one of the most important relationships in it is the relationship between the director and the stage manager in Prompt Corner. Because at some point you have to go, I trust you with this show I've created. You don't need me now. It's yours. Take it. And it's slightly painful because as a sort of, in some way, you've kind of nurtured this thing and it doesn't need you anymore. And, you know, it doesn't do much for your vanity, but that's exactly what it needs. It needs other people's brains on it. It needs the stage manager. It needs you to come back in a month. Well, you know this because of your own work that you want to come back in a month and it to be slightly changed and developed and different and then go, this is what we did with it. And you go, oh yeah, that's better than I thought it was going to be. Because you've made it better, because you've got put your brains on it. And so I love that about it, that, you know, it's more than when you start it off on the first night, then you come back a month later and people have made it better and improved it, and it's more than you could ever have thought it would be. So, yeah, for so many reasons, that's why the Prompt Corner represents that relationship and that handing over as well.
Yeah, It is absolutely wonderful. Well, Martin, thank you so much for a
Thank you.
wonderful answer to that question. Like I said, I ask it to every single person who comes onto this podcast, and it's so lovely to be able to hear about an answer which I can relate to so much as well for me as a stage manager, and the appreciation that you have as a director for this in particular for stage managers. So it's really lovely to be able to have had this conversation about Hound of the Baskervilles, to talk a little bit about the show, but also just to hear your appreciation for everybody who works on the productions that you create. So Martin, that brings us to the end of our interview today. Thank you so much for coming on. Like I say, we'll have all of the tour dates where everybody can come and see Hound of the Baskervilles in our episode notes. But for now, Martin, I just want to say good luck. But good luck is bad luck almost. But very good leg for the first part of the leg of the Hound of the Baskervilles before we bring this episode out. I really do hope that the first leg of the tour goes well for you.
Thank you so much for having me, and it's lovely to talk to you. And good luck with Treasure Island as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And there we go. That was my interview with Martin Parsons, the adapter and director of The Hound of Baskervilles, which is currently touring around the UK. I'd love to thank Martin so much for coming on to the podcast to talk about the show. If this is the first time that you've been listening to the podcast, then why not join us on social media? This week, to celebrate World Theatre Day, we've had numerous takeovers happening on our Instagram. From the creative teams behind Fat Chance the play, KD Theatre's Treasure Island, and part of the Main's Bloody Mary. So please do make sure to head over to our Instagram page where you can see all of the takeovers saved on our profile. And do be sure to give us a follow on Instagram, X and TikTok at The Stagey Place. So that's it for this week's episode. I'd love to thank you so much for joining us as we interviewed Martin Parsons. And until next time, my name's been Elliot. I hope you're keeping safe and staying stagey. Goodbye.